am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came. In Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give the Lord a shout of victory, would you? Amen. Open your Bible with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're talking about hope today. Boy, does the world need hope like never before. You know, hopelessness is a need out there. Well, we have the answer for that here today. We're going to talk about it. You know, maybe you or you have a friend that feel hopeless today. Maybe you've been told that this is as good as it's going to get. It's not going to get any better. Well, I've got good news for you today. Maybe you've tried everything and nothing has worked and your back is against the wall. So to speak, you're in a corner and it looks like there's no way out. Looks like your life is a dead end. Looks like you've gone as far as you can go where you work, as far as you can go with your relationships. You know, I've got good news for you today. I want to talk about what hope is, if you're a note taker, what hope is. Number two, how to build your hope, how to build your hope. And number three, the benefits of Bible hope. So let's look at the first one, the first point. What is hope? We're talking about Bible hope. And you know, I just got a feeling that you're with me today on the same page and you're ready, right? I just believe that because this is going to absolutely change your life. It's going to answer questions. It's going to help you be who God wants you to be, do and have what God wants you to do and have. You see, without hope, you know, someone said you can go days without food and days without water, minutes without air, but you can only go a few seconds without hope. I believe that's true, don't you? People who are hopeless commit suicide, do crazy things, make wrong, hasty decisions. They look at life in the wrong way. They give up. They quit. They live defeated and depressed. That's not God's will for you and for me. So hope, Bible hope. It's important that we understand what it is and what it will do. And without hope, someone said, if a person has no hope in the future, they have no power in the present. That's true, isn't it? If they don't see a future, if they have no hope in their future, then they feel like giving up today. Another phrase that we've heard, people without a future always retreat to their past. People without a future always retreat to their past. I think of the story in the New Testament when Jesus was on the cross and he died. Peter thought it was all over, actually did. And he says, let's go back to fishing. Peter said that. Peter thought it was all over. Peter thought that his leader and Lord and Savior was died on the cross and was in the grave and that it was endless. And so Peter said, I'm going back to fishing. That's what he said. Why did he say that? Because he felt like there was no future for him. People who feel like there's no future always retreat to their past. I look at another story in the Old Testament, the children of Israel. Remember the story? They came out of Egypt with Moses, and they didn't go into the promised land. They died off in the wilderness. And what did they say? They felt like it was no use. Why keep trying? It'll never get better. What do they want to do? They said, we want to go back to Egypt. They said, Moses, take us back to Egypt. What were they saying? We don't have a future, so we'll retreat to our past. How many know that the past is the past for you? And God doesn't want you to go back. God wants you to go forward. God has a future, and it's good. God has a future for you, and it's full of hope. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. So we're defining hope. So are you with me? Hope is a mental picture in your mind. Hope is a vision. It's a goal. It's a dream. Hope is an aspiration, an ambition. Hope is a picture on the inside. It's a mental picture in your mind, but better than that, it should drop from your mind into your heart. And it's on the canvas of your heart, a picture of a promise coming to pass. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Don't we serve a great God? And Bible hope is defined as, it's a mental picture, but it's got to be more than mental, a vision. It's got to be more than just a vision, just a dream, just an ambition, an aspiration, just a godly goal. It's got to be more than all of that. It's got to be painted on the canvas of your heart. You've got to have an image. You've got to have a picture of a promise from God to you coming to pass. If I don't have a picture on the inside, it'll never come to pass on the outside. If I don't have a picture of it coming to pass on the inside, it will never come to pass on the outside. Bible hope is confident expectation. I like that, don't you? You know, I love hanging out with y'all because you guys are expecting big, right? If you expect little, you're going to get little. If you expect much, you're going to get much. It's called the law of expectation. The law of expectation. You know, I've lived long enough that you're going to get out of life what you really expect. So you and I need to expect big. Hope is a confident expectation that your life is going to get better, that something good is going to happen to you, that this is not the end, that it's not over. It's actually just the beginning. Bible hope, again, is composed of your imagination and your memory. Well, I hope you're taking notes on this. This is huge. See, your hope is made up of imagination. So another definition of Bible hope is positive imagination. Positive imagination. So Bible hope, two components. It's your imagination and it's your memory. So if you want to build your hopes, and you know, folks, we need to have high hopes. We need to be building our hopes every day of our life. How do you build your hope? Well, you do it through your memory and your imagination. Memory is your past. Imagination is your future. So you and I, in our memory, if we want to build up our hopes right now, if right now for some people, it's a wonderful life, the holidays. For others, it's the darkest season of the year. They want to get through it quickly. Maybe you've lost all hope. I'm here to help you today to pick that hope back up and show you how to build it. You build it with your imagination and you build it with your memory. You begin to think about, God, I remember when you helped me through that. God, I remember when you helped me through this. God, I remember when no one else was there, but God, you showed up. God, if it wasn't for you, God, I would have been destroyed. Just like Kim said about me a few years ago when I was in Israel, and actually that was the guy right in front of me had a bomb on his backpack. This is before security. This is before, you know, 9/11. This is 30-some years ago. And we were getting on a plane in Tel Aviv. And he was standing right in front of me right there, and he had a bomb. Wow. And they came and they dragged him away, pulled the bomb. Boy, I'm so glad for the power of prayer, aren't you? Wow. And so I think about, oh God, you've saved my life. How many times have you saved my life? I didn't even know it. How many times have you rescued us from the snare and we didn't even know it? And when you do that, you build your hopes. You say, God, you helped me with the lion and you helped me with the bear. God, you're going to help me with this giant called Goliath. And then your imagination. Bible hope is positive imagination. Now, you know, your imagination, my imagination, is a gift from God. You understand that, right? We all have it. We should use it intentionally to live the life God wants us to live. You see, the Bible talks about an evil imagination, and the Bible talks about a godly imagination. An evil imagination would be kind of like pornography. But a godly imagination would be imagining what God could do, what God would do, what God can do. Because God with us, all things are possible. So Bible hope is a positive imagination. Bible hope is a confident expectation. Bible hope is a picture, a positive picture in your spirit, in your heart, of seeing a promise come to pass before it comes to pass. You got to have, and I hope you understand, you're praying for me, right? That I hope you understand, you have to have a picture of it on the inside for it to come to pass on the outside. You got to call things be not as if they already were. You gotta act like it's so when it ain't so. Excuse me, all you educators. When it ain't so, so it can become so. You gotta see it before you're ever gonna get it. In other words, if I can't see myself healed, I'll never get healed. If I can't see myself paying off those credit cards, I'll never pay them off. If I can't see myself in it, I'll never have it. You know, a few weeks ago, a friend of mine wanted to go look at a car at a dealership, asked me to go with him. So we called the dealership, said, you know, we're kind of looking for this vehicle. And before we went down there, you know, this friend of mine was talking about the logic side. Well, I want to go down there. I want to find out, he said, I want to find out the drivetrain, the horsepower, the gas mileage. I want to find out the warranty. I want to get the facts. But you know what? If I'm lying, I'm frying. We drove on the parking lot of the car lot, and they had the vehicle he was looking for right up front, and it was running. What was he doing? Boy, that was a smart car salesman, wasn't it? That car salesman knew that if he could get my friend in it, driving it, see himself with it, it'd be a matter of time before he bought it. You see the analogy there? So today, you know, thank God for doctors. We have them in our church. Thank God for lawyers. We have the best in the city that come to our church. We have judges that are part of our church. Thank God for all of that. But you know what? Whose report are you going to believe? You know, are we going to let the natural dominate and rob you of godly hopes? I think we need to hope on when all hope is gone. Didn't Abraham do that, the father of our faith? Didn't God come to him and say, you know what, you're going to have a child. He said, I'm 100 years old. I'm an old dude. And his wife Sarah was 90, right? But God came to them and he said, you know what he said? He said, call things that be not as if they already were. See the promise coming to pass on the inside before it comes to pass, and that it will come to pass. You know, hoping comes before believing. Did you know that? No, Pastor, I thought hope came afterwards. No, hope is the target for your faith. If you don't have any hope today, your faith is dead. It's not active. Because we have to have hope to activate our faith. Our faith brings to pass our hope. Am I communicating today? Let's look at some scripture. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abideth, these are the greatest, and many of you know this, these are the greatest, what? Three things: faith, hope, and charity. Charity's love, right? Faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these three are the greatest forces on the planet. But out of these three, the greatest is love, right? I want you to see something. Imagine a three-story building. What's on the first floor? Faith. What's on the second floor? Hope. What's on the top floor? Love. What does it tell me? The second greatest force in your life is hope. Without hope, you can't become the person God wants you to be. Without hope, you'll never find God's will. You'll settle for less than God's best for your life. Hope is huge. It's mega. It's epic. We got to have it. How do you build it? Through memory and imagination. Through thanking God for all that he's done in your life. And then imagining what he could do, what he wants to do, what he can do in your life. Getting a picture in your spirit. It starts in your mouth, goes to your head, drops in your heart. Amen? Without a picture, God's promises won't come to pass. Can I show you an illustration from the Bible? Let's look at Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Now, this is the story of Abram, who's the father of our faith, who became Abraham. And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your what? Eyes, spiritual eyes. Lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are. Look north, south, east, and west. Next verse. Watch this now. This is huge. This is good stuff. This is meat. Look what he says. For all the land that you see, not the land that you believing for, but all the land that you see. Notice that God Almighty said to the father of our faith, all the land that you see. I have a question for you today. What do you see? What's in your imagination? If Walt Disney said that he took an hour a day to do nothing but imagining, imagineering, if Walt Disney said that that's all he did for 1 hour a day, shouldn't you and I, as children of the Most High God, who have the God of the universe, where nothing is impossible for him, shouldn't we be taking time out of every day to visit our future through our divine imagination? And then come back and you've outgrown your present. God has to promote you. Oh, I like that. So he says, all the land that you see, notice that it wasn't in God's court, it was in Abram's court. My brother and sister, it's not in God's court, it's in our court. It's what do you see? Pastor, I could never see that. Oh, yes, you can if you made a choice to. Pastor, I could just never see myself out of the neighborhood. I couldn't see myself with a better car. I couldn't see my family serving God with church and church with me. I just couldn't see my body being healed. Oh, yes, you could if you choose to see it. You see, every day you and I need to be hoping and then believing. Hope comes before believing. Hoping is getting a picture, an image on the inside. I've got to have a picture on the inside for the promise God made to me to come to pass on the outside. So he says, whatever you see, I will give it to you and your seed forever. So it was on him and his positive imagination, on his hope. What did he see? What was he visualizing? What was he imagining? See, it's got to get so real on the inside so that when it happens on the outside, it doesn't surprise you. You don't do a Gomer Pyle. Surprise, surprise. Remember that? Boy, you are old if you do. Verse 16, and I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. Now, family, I love you big time. You're praying for me, right? That previous verse, he made him a promise. This verse, he gives him a picture. The previous verse, he made him a promise. Whatever you see, I'll give it to you. And now this verse, he gives him a picture. Because you got to have a picture in order to believe the promise. You got to see it before you're ever going to get it. You got to visualize it every day, strong and clear and vivid colors, before it will ever materialize in your life. So much so that when it happens and it surprises your family, it doesn't surprise you. Because you've been living with it, incubating it, pregnant with it in your spirit for days, weeks, months, and years. Can we have a praise break? So he says, I've given you a promise, but now I got to give you a picture because I got to get you in faith. So he says, I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. So that if you can number the dust of the earth, the sand, your seed will be just like that. You know, as I said, I've been to Israel taking groups from the church. I'd really like to go next year and take a group to Israel. I really would. And you know, when you go over there, a lot of it's desert. And you know, way back then, in their time, they wore sandals, right? At the end of the day, before they went to bed at night, what did they do? They had to take their sandals off and wash off the dust. They had to do it every day. Folks, we got to do it every day for it to work. Okay? You got to have that divine imagination. You got to build your hope through memory of what God's done and imagination. What could God do? Ooh, glory to God. I feel like I'm going to do a Jericho march right here. Amen. What's he talking about? It's okay. You don't need to know anything about it. I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. So he had to wash his feet off every night. So he was picturing it. Yeah, God said this. Yeah, God said that my descendants, that I'd be over family, I'd be a father of a multitude. Yeah, I didn't feel like it throughout the day, but wow, as I'm washing my feet and getting the dust off my feet, I'm painting a picture just like this. So he goes on, next verse, verse 17. Arise, walk through the land, the length of it, the breadth of it, act like it's so, when it ain't so, so it can become so. And he said, I'll give it to you. Genesis 15, let's jump forward two chapters. Genesis 15. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, now, God is still trying to get Abraham into faith. God's still trying to get him to believe. Hoping comes before believing. You got to see it before you're ever going to get it. Hoping is a positive imagination. Hoping is a picture on the inside. You see it on the inside. You have a picture of God's promise coming to pass, you're imagining, what will that feel like? What will that look like? How will I respond? You're getting it down. You're spending time every day visualizing, meditation, imagination. You're using it intentionally. You're not letting the world use your imagination to go off track. But you're using your imagination intentionally to build the life God wants you to have. Oh my goodness. And he brought him forth abroad and said, what did he say? Look. What did he say? Tell me, family. Look. Say it again. Look. What are you looking at today? What do you see today? What are you imagining today? Are you imagining the worst? Or are you imagining the best? Or are you imagining not enough? Or are you imagining more than enough? Or are you imagining sick and weak? Or are you imagining healed and strong? What you see is only what God can do in your life. So he brought him forth and he said, now look towards the heaven, count the stars, if you're able to count them. And he said to them, so will your seed be. So what's God doing? Giving him another picture. He said, the dust and the sand wasn't enough. He said, I got to get this boy into faith. I got to get him to believe. So in order to get him to believe, I got to get his hopes up. In order for him to believe, I got to paint a picture for him. He's got to have a picture in his spirit. On the inside, clear, vivid, bold, and color, living color, before it will ever come to pass on the outside. So what does he say? Now, folks, they're in the desert. He was a Bedouin, and they traveled, and at night, they didn't have DirecTV, right? And so what did they do for fun? They went outside the tent, around the fire, and looked up at the, every day. So what is God doing? He's painting a picture. Now, he's saying, Abram, every day of your life, you're going to have to wash your feet and you're going to look up at the stars, and I want you to build an image in your imagination. I want you to build a picture on the inside of seeing the promise of being a father of multitude. I want you to see yourself with it before it ever happens. Because you got to see it on the inside before you're going to get it on the outside. Next verse. And he what? Oh my land. Oh my Goshen. Look what. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Notice, as the team comes out, notice he didn't believe until he had a picture. He didn't believe until he had a positive imagination of seeing it done before it was ever done. Notice God, you know, I love you big time, and we share lots of scriptures. We're a word church, a teaching church. But you know what? You remember my stories more than you remember my scriptures. Because that's the way we're built. You've got to paint a picture in your spirit before it will ever come to pass in your life. You got to see it done before it's done. You got to see yourself healed before you're ever going to get healed. You got to see yourself blessed. Imagine what it would feel like, your emotions, the sensation. Imagine the weight off your shoulders. Imagine the peace and the joy, and how you would act then, act now. And then your imagination becomes a magnet. And you attract that abundant life God wants you to have. Notice he didn't believe until after there was a picture. He was given a promise, but he needed a picture. He had faith, but he needed hope. So every day we need to be a hoping and believing. We need to be looking in our memory and our imagination. In the past, how good God's been, and in the future, what could God do if I only get a picture on the inside? Now let me just share this with you real quick. Can I have just a couple more minutes? We'll finish this Wednesday night. But how do you know, Pastor? Pastor, you know, I've been in church for all my life. Or, Pastor, I've been in church long enough to hear messages on hope, and I know we're supposed to hope, and I know God has a future, and Pastor, I can even quote Jeremiah 29:11. I got hope. Well, I think sometimes we think we're in faith and we're not really in faith. I think sometimes we in the body of Christ, we really have hope and we don't really have hope. It's just a wishing. It's not a hoping and believing. Well, Pastor, I want to know, how do I distinguish in my own life? Because I want to correct it. I want to adjust it. I want to be the person. I want to have the will of God. I want to have abundant life. How do I know that I'm really in Bible hope like Abraham was? How do I know I'm like that? Well, let me give you scripture. Hebrews 6, verse 18 and 19. Hebrews, New Testament 6, verse 18 and 19, said, hope is an anchor to your soul. Wow. Hope stabilizes your emotions. We looked at that in our series on harnessing your emotions. But what I want you to see is this. If you and I are in Bible hope, if we have a picture on the inside, and the devil and demons and family and friends can't pull it off the walls of our heart. If we're stuck and steadfast and single-minded and we're not giving up, no matter how long it takes, no matter what, even though the circumstances are contrary to what I'm hoping for, like Abraham, he hoped when all hope was gone. How do you know, Pastor? What's the signal? What's the characteristic? What's the indicator, like a light on a dash? How do I know if I'm really in Bible hope? Because I have to have Bible hope for the promises to come to pass. How do I know? Here's how you know. You won't waver. Doesn't an anchor on a ship or a boat keep it from wavering on the waves? Doesn't it give it stability? You and I know that we really are in Bible hope and not just wishing and not just up and down. When in the natural, our circumstances are contrary to everything we're believing for, but it doesn't move you. It doesn't change your confession over your kids, your grandkids, your health, your money, your job, your career, your education. It doesn't move you. It doesn't change your confession. In fact, you get bolder in your confession. You get stronger in your confession. You know you're in Bible hope. Doesn't matter how long it takes, you're going to stick with the process. Because you know that if you hang on to that positive imagination, that hope, that picture on the inside, it's just a matter of time for your circumstances to line up what God has promised for you. Can you give God a big praise?